Those of you online, as we join our hearts together to cry to the Lord, let's open in prayer. Oh, great Holy Father, what a privilege and honor it is to come into your presence through our Lord Jesus Christ and in his name. We thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace through the shed blood and righteousness and perfect sacrifice of our great high priest. Oh, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and the way he has provided for us into the Holy of Holies. We begin our prayer time by asking that you would cleanse our hearts, our minds, and our inner man by the sanctifying blood of Christ, that you would grant sorrow and repentance for sin, and that you would draw out our hearts to you in repentance, as well as in faith, as well as equipping us to worship you this day in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy of all of our praise and adoration and worship. Thank you for those here today in the prayer meeting. And as we come before your throne of mercy and grace, we are aware of the seriousness of seeking your face in prayer. So we ask your blessing upon our time. We ask for your help to pray as we ought to pray. We ask for your Spirit to lay it on our hearts, to seek your face and provide the petitions you desire from us. We desire to see you glorified during this prayer time. Please extract the praises of your people. Guide and direct our thoughts and our worship and our prayers. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. May they be a sweet-smelling savor to you. Oh, how we so want to please you and to obey you and to be faithful to you and to love you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we continue our encouragements to all of us to pray, I want to direct your attention to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, I'll be reading verses 15 through 17. Psalm 34, 15 through 17. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Just spend a few minutes talking to you about the righteous cry, or the righteous crying out. We find this phrase many, many times in Scripture. It depicts believers who have no other recourse, no other source, no other remedy, but to cry out to God for help in every situation. The psalmist was used to crying out to the Lord. He found himself under constant pressure, malicious gossip, slander, attacks from every direction, and the Lord was his only refuge. And so we ought to take heart. The same God who delivered the psalmist, David, over and over again is the God that we go to. He is our fortress, our high tower. He is our provider. He is our refuge in times of trouble. And as we grow closer to the end of the world and chaos and worldwide calamities increase, let me remind you of the importance of clinging to Christ as our refuge. The Lord says in verse 15 that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And so the eyes and the ears of the Lord depict one who sees and one who hears. Of course, the Lord doesn't have physical eyes and ears. He's invisible. in his glorified body, I suppose the Lord Jesus does. But this is certainly a symbol of the Lord being open to the prayers of those who cry to him. And so God is not callous or indifferent to his people during times of distress. All of us see distress all around us, difficulties, pressures, and we have no other place to go to but the Lord. We have often been brought to tears and grief. Our hearts burn within us with difficulties and troubles on every side from time to time. But the Lord sees our tears. He shares in our grief and understands our sorrows and hears our cries of anguish and suffering. And we ought to be encouraged by that as we gather for the prayer meeting. The Bible says the righteous cry and the Lord hears. He hears. He's listening. Why? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ and his high priestly role, his sacrifice on our behalf. He brings our petitions and our cries and our needs before the throne of grace. Our God is not deaf. He hears his people. He doesn't turn away from those who cry out to him, seeking comfort and relief. No, to cry out is to speak loudly to the Lord, is to come to him with our hearts on edge in an excited or anguished voice. Scripture speaks of the object of our crying out. We cry out to the Lord. And so it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Who do the righteous cry out to? The Lord. We specifically have him as our object. So if we lift up our voices to him in an appeal for help, he hears us through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 107:13, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. We have so many enemies as a church, as a people, as believers, enemies of the gospel. Everywhere we turn, we are hated just like the world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one we have as a hope, someone with a sympathetic ear, someone who is powerful enough to intervene and help us, is the Lord. Our cries don't always have to be verbal. Remember, Hannah prayed in deep anguish, but her physical voice was not heard because she was praying in her heart. And so God hears our silent cries as well, even those cries with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are many times not a word goes up from me to the Lord, but then there are 10,000 words uttered in my heart with travailings before God. So to cry out to the Lord is to show our absolute dependence upon him. In very often tearful pleas, we acknowledge our human frailties and weaknesses to the Lord. We cling to him, confessing our weakness, our inability to overcome our growing problems, whatever they may be. And so our cries show that our trust is in him, and we need him to act on our behalf. We have nowhere else to go. For thou hast the words of eternal life, Peter said to the Lord Jesus. Where else are we going to go? Our cries show that our trust is in him to act on our behalf. We freely surrender self-will to his perfect, sovereign will. And so God hears individuals in their times of sorrow. But God also hears and responds to the corporate pleadings of his people, to his people in prayer meeting like today, who bring very sensitive, painful, difficult things to the Lord in prayer together. And there ought to be a oneness. There ought to be an agreement. There ought to be a unanimity. When one brother prays, leading the church, we should all enter that prayer in agreement, in our spirits, concur, affirm, say amen, pray along the same lines. We ought not to pray passively, but proactively in our hearts along with the other brethren as they lead the church in prayer. As the Hebrew people multiplied in Egypt, so did their iron-fisted rule and their suffering under the rule of Pharaoh. But God heard their cries, their mournings, the cries of his chosen people, and delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, and eventually led them all the way from Egypt across the Red Sea into the promised land. In Nehemiah 9, verse 9 through 11, Nehemiah 9, 9 through 11, we read Nehemiah praying, "You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted proudly against them. You made a name for yourself, as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters." And so the picture is a nation of slaves. They had nothing. They were slaves. They were under the dominion of the hard taskmasters in Egypt. But having nothing, they turned to the Lord as their hope, their refuge, their deliverer. And God led them all the way. And he provided water for them in the desert out of the rock. He rained manna down on them and provided the bread, which was an echo of our Lord Jesus' miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in the desert. The Lord fed the Egyptians with water and bread in the desert. And here we are in the desert of these end times, wicked, perverted, evil, monstrous, unthinkable wickedness taking place all around us. Even the abominations that are taking place in the churches. And we have nowhere to go but to cry to the Lord. Cry out in our hearts against the abominations of the world and his professing church. So let's cry to the Lord as his church. Here are some of the things we need to pray about this afternoon. The salvation of souls. Let's bring the matter of the salvation of souls to the Lord. These are souls that will perish in flames unless they become saved. There's an urgency among us here at Christ Bible Church. Pray for the salvation of souls. Let's pray about mortification of sin and the struggle that we as believers have with remaining sin, besetting sins. These are issues, prayer topics, that go to the very core of our emotions and affections and who we are. These are issues that work in the motions of our bodies every day, that cause us great grief and suffering and pain emotionally and physically. That is the desire to see souls saved, the struggle with remaining sin, the need to repent of sin. Number four, the need for more love for God and for one another. These are huge issues that we cannot remain indifferent about or cold to. We need to cry to God together, joining heart to heart before the throne of grace, asking for the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of prayer that we may lay hold of the Lord. And also that when the Lord Jesus comes, fifthly, the fifth prayer request is that we might have confidence before him at his coming. As we read in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming," 1 John 2:28. So these are five specific things that we need to bring before God as a church. All of them are spiritual in nature. We need to cry to the Lord about it, as I mentioned earlier about crying to the Lord. And so with that in mind, that very short devotional and some specific prayer requests, those prayer requests being the salvation of souls, the struggle with remaining sin, repentance from sin, the need for more love for God and for one another, and that we might fifthly have confidence before him at his coming. Let's begin praying over those things, whatever else comes to mind. We need to pray for the healing of Marie Weinkopf, who